The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. This morning's gospel should come with a warning label. God's word may cause the world to be turned upside down. It seems more and more that I am struck by how sweet and mild we have made the Christmas story sound. Beautiful images of comfort and joy, Mary meek and mild, and a bouncing baby boy. But when the angel Gabriel was sent by God to Nazareth to a young girl whose name was Mary, the world as it was known would change. There had been all kinds of predictions and theories and ideas about the coming Messiah, but no one had imagined this scenario. An angel coming to the powerful and making one of the powerful the king, that would make sense. An angel coming to a peasant girl in a backwood town and calling her favored by God and telling her that she would bear the Son of the Most High. Not a story that anyone would dare to believe, let alone tell. The angel's pronouncement has an amazing effect on Mary. Yes, at first she's perplexed, but she's also emboldened by the angel's words. She listens, she hears, she is lifted up, she is transformed, she is recognized, she is empowered. When the angel finishes telling her all that is and is to come, she responds in faith, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The angel departs. And so does Mary to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth builds on what the angel has already said. It is written, "Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord.'" The angel had told Mary she was favored by God, and Elizabeth has called her blessed, and Mary can't seem to contain her thoughts and understanding about what is happening when she breaks into the words we know as the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." I want to share a significant portion of a sermon written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer about this scripture. It is written while he was serving in England, and his words capture just how this changes the world. Bonhoeffer writes, "God is not ashamed to be with those of humble state. He goes into the midst of it all, chooses one person to be his instrument, and does his miracle there, where one least expects it. He loves the lost, the forgotten, the insignificant, the outcast, the weak, and the broken. Where men say lost, he says found. Where men say no, he says yes. Where men look with indifference or superiority, he looks with burning love, such as nowhere else is to be found. Where men say contemptible, God cries blessed. When we reach a point in our lives at which we are not only ashamed of ourselves, but believe God is ashamed of us too, when we feel so far from God more than we have ever felt in our lives, then and precisely then, God is nearer to us than he has ever been. It is then that he breaks into our lives. It is then that he lets us know that feeling of despair is taken away from us, so that we may grasp the wonder of his love, his nearness to us, and his grace. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, says Mary. What does that mean? Mary, a maid of humble state, called blessed? It can be no other than the miracle of God that he has astonishingly performed on her. God has been mindful of the humble state of Mary and raised her up. God, coming into the world, seeks out not the high and mighty, but the lowly, that we might see the glory and the mighty power of God, making the down and out great. To call Mary blessed does not mean to build her an altar, but with her to pray to God, who is mindful of the lowly and chooses them, who has done great things. Holy is his name. To call Mary blessed is to know with her that God's mercy extends to those who fear him, those who watch and consider his astonishing ways, who let his spirit blow where it will, those who are obedient to him and with Mary humbly say, "May it be to me as you have said." Bonhoeffer wrote those words at the beginning of Hitler's rise to power. He recognizes how the powers of his day would order things. This is no different than how the powers would order things when Jesus was born. It would appear that it's not all that different than how the powers are trying to order things today. Herod, in his fear, would kill all children under the age of 2 in the area around where Jesus was born. As we know, Hitler killed millions. What is happening today, at least for now, is much more subtle. Close to 13 million kids face hunger in our nation today and every day. 2 million kids lost health care coverage through the CHIP program because its funding had run out, but it did receive a short-term band-aid this week. And there are many more examples. Mary's words, Bonhoeffer's words, need to be our words too. Mary in the Magnificat speaks to a change in the structure of the world. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Bonhoeffer wrote, "Where men look with indifference or superiority, he looks with burning love, such as nowhere else is to be found." What will our cry be? How will we speak for the voiceless in our society? How will we bring hope to those who have lost sight of any hope? Empowered by the Spirit, how will we speak words like Mary's? How will we respond to God's call for justice in our time? Martin Luther loved Mary, and he saw in the favor she received from God the favor that we all receive from God. One theologian speaks of Luther's love for Mary this way. To Luther, Mary represented the typical pattern of God's interaction with humans. Indeed, not just interaction, but election. That is, it wasn't Mary's goodness or innocence or beauty or even her willingness to serve God that Luther focused on. Rather, it was the plain and simple fact that God chose Mary to bear the Christ child. And that fact, to Luther, is not simply plain and simple, but also surprising, perhaps even shocking. God didn't choose a royal princess or holy priestess, but a plain and, at least to the world's eyes, utterly insignificant young girl. God chose her, God elected her, God addressed her and honored her and elevated her. Nobody would have expected this, which is why Luther just loved Mary, because she stands for all of us who have no right to expect God's attention and favor, and yet are surprised to discover that God has chosen, elected, called, addressed, and honored each one of us. At Christmas, we may be tempted to sit in front of a fire, listening to our favorite carols and sipping on our favorite beverage while sitting in our favorite chair. In Gabriel's proclamation, in Mary's response, we can't help but be stirred from our tranquility. In Jesus' birth, the lowly are lifted up. In Jesus' birth, the outcast are welcomed in. In Jesus' birth, the world is about to turn. When we follow this one, we can speak the words that Mary spoke. Let it be with me according to your word. Let our hearts be stirred, O God. We have been warned. May the world be turned. Amen.